Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hashtag no music, no intro. As always, neither myself nor Ryan were at OTA, so we are giving our thoughts and opinions for basically what other thoughts and opinions were for people who were there. So I just want to always clear that up. Hopefully for training camp in Irvine, it can be my thoughts and opinions because I see it with my own eyes, but that is yet to be seen. But before we get into any of that, hope everyone had a good holiday weekend. A shout out to any armed forces members who listen to the podcast, who have served, are serving, have served in the past, this past Memorial Day. There's some exciting stuff to talk about. Just in regards to everything, shout out to everyone who's joining us on YouTube. If you are watching this on YouTube, please take the time to like, subscribe to the channel.
Please.
And I mean, football, we're here. This is like the second week of OTAs, and then we're going to get like mandatory mini camp for like what, a week or two? In June.
Yeah.
And then like nothing. And football at all anywhere. Sorry, having a little ring. Coaster just fell. This is live podcasting. But shout out Wayne, shout out Dante, Tony, Eddie, Mike. Thank you guys for joining. We know it's late. It's 9 p.m. California time, Pacific Standard Time. A lot of things happening with the Saints. Kind of want to start. I mean, we could start in numerous places, but did want to give an update for the Saints Chargers meetup, West Coast meetup. That's going to take place on October 27th. Spoke to the Chargers already. Tickets or leave like 62 to 65 per ticket. We had 35 people at the Rams game. I want to try if we can get 45 people at the Chargers game, bro. I want to be 45 deep.
On the West Coast.
And that's cheaper. So the Rams tickets were like 100, 110. And so it's the Chargers because obviously they're the B team in LA. And so the tickets are cheaper. I want it to happen. So if you're listening to this, if you're on the West Coast, you know for sure you're going to the game. Please make sure you let me know. Let me know how many tickets that you need. I can put it to the side so I can start getting that organized sooner rather than later. Shout out Rod. Rod said, Clint trying to sell us some hope.
Boy. Selling, bro.
I'll start with the thing of, I don't know if it's a bad thing. I know it's a good thing. And we could talk on all the positives that came out from today. But the thing that I can't just like get out of my head, Julio, shout out, is, we don't ever miss words on this podcast. Why does Clint Kubiak sound more like a head coach than the actual head coach does, Ryan? Like,
I mean,
is it just me? Is it just
no, man? No, bro. It's the the stuff we're hearing about accountability and attention to detail and holding guys accountable and all that stuff is like,
You put it in the Discord. This man flew to Utah. No reason to go to Utah. Shout out to G Alex. We love you guys. Utah is beautiful. G is the only reason I have to go to Utah, Ryan.
The offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator flew to Utah to talk to their utility player. Their utility player.
Hello.
About a vision for him. Man, come on now, bro. Come on now, bro.
And these are not bad. I want to like make sure like we're not trying to like make it sound like a bad thing or anything like that. This is great to hear offensively. Talked about today about, you know, it's reported whether it I know that John Hendricks reported it, the use of motion. It's just been such a change of the use of motion in just these couple of weeks compared to Pete Carmichael in the last 2 years.
Oh.
I gotta see it, bro. I gotta see it. Gotta see it.
Gotta see it, man. But right now, what you hearing what you want to hear right now, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Talk about motion. I think last year we started hearing like a little bit of, you know, Pete was using a little bit of motion in training camp and stuff like that. For them to be at this point, you know, day one, day two installs.
Install, bro.
Offense, and they doing motion, they doing cheat motion and all that stuff like the Dolphins do where, you know, players are getting the running start at the snap and they just break off full speed, you know, bro, like it's modern offense. It's the stuff we've been screaming about for a couple of years now. And it's not saying, you know, the old Sean Payton scheme was bad and all that stuff. It worked, especially when you got a Hall of Fame computer like Drew Brees. But as we saw, you know, It's kind of tough. And Jake Haner, he talked about it. Like, he said it perfectly. He was like, man, like, the offense, you know, the previous offense, he's like, he sure it was, like, easy for Drew Brees to learn in, you know, 2006, 2007. But he said, man, trying to learn that thing now in 2024, he said it was tough. Like, it's tough, man. It's just tough. It's a tough offense to learn. And he talked about how this offense – not that it's easy, but it's more, it makes more sense. You know what I'm saying? You study it and it's like, okay, this makes sense. And he said it has a rhythm to it. And you see how this leads to that and that leads to this, da 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 da. Look, it could be players just talking or that could be the truth. But I think it's the truth, man. And I mean, we've seen it all over the league. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully, hopefully, man, this is something. It's going to be so fascinating, bro. So fascinating because even in the preseason, we won't really know nothing because they're not going to show much. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to see some stuff as far as like the run game and stuff like that. But as far as like all the real tricky stuff and the motions and all that, it's going to be very basic. So, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of talk. Oh, where's the offense at? This is the offense we've been talking about all this time. I could just hear it already, you know, when the Saints put up 6 points versus the Cardinals or whatever. I could just hear like, oh, the offense, where is that? Da, 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 da. So it's going to be so interesting until we get to the regular season because we ain't going to know shit we get to the regular season, bro, and play real ball, you know?
And that's kind of going back to the schedule. Again, I'm never the one to look past an opponent as a fan, but you cannot have like maybe handpicked a better team defensively to go against with this offense that it's not going to be perfect, especially early on, but to go against the Panthers week one, it should help because like the way I kind of see is that the Panthers defense, you know, that's a regular class. I'm not saying they're going to win this game. That's like a bird class, right? Then the following week, that following week, got that AP test, bro. Got that SAT. Like, the level just jumps. Wayne said, don't fall for the high scores in preseason. Nope. I'm not falling for a single thing this team does. until I see it in the regular season.
Two years in a row they got me. 2 years in a row. Remember that Chargers game? Yep. Jameis led that offense down the field. Like, ooh, boy, it's cooking. That Chiefs game. I don't care what they do in a preseason, bro. Don't care. I'll look at some individual players or whatever, but as far as like the team, I'm not taking nothing from it, man. But man, look, it's just like the stuff we're hearing, bro. Like, you know, back to the Taysom Hill thing. So basically, you know, Clint Kubiak reached out to Taysom Hill, you know, when he got hired and all that stuff. Just talk to him like, hey, man, you know, big fan of you. You know, I don't have a vision for you yet. I want to study you. I want to look at your film past couple years. And, you know, I'll hit you back. See what he's talking about. Hit him back after studying the film. Like, bro, I got a plan for you. Let me come out there to Utah, see you, and let's talk about what we're going to do, what we got cooking.
That's a real coach.
And you can hear from Taysom, he talked about it, bro. That made him feel good. I mean, he made him feel wanted because he understood. He said himself, he said he understood. He knew a new coach was coming in. He could very well be like, Taysom, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? We don't need him.
$10 million? No, I don't need that.
No, we don't need that. So for him to show him like, man, we want you. And that's what I was saying. Like when I tweeted like last week, just how I appreciate Taysom as a football player on the Saints. Just one of my favorite Saints players, you know.
The hot take is that he is pound for pound as a football player. I'm not saying a position. As a football player, he is one of the best modern day all-around football players that we have seen. I will die on that hill. No pun intended.
What's crazy is I think he would be good like in any era. Like I think he would find a role.
Yes.
Like in any era, bro. It's just like one of those type of dudes. But people was like, oh, he's getting paid $10 million. Of course he's gonna play any position he's gonna do, he's gonna pay $10 million. And I hear that.
Alante don't want to go to safety.
I'm about to say there's a lot of players that regardless of the money, you're not about to make them move to something they don't want to do. And he's somebody who's always wanted to play quarterback. You know, that's his life. That's what he wanted to do. And he's coming in and he's saying, look, man, just I'm 33 years old. Mold me. Whatever you want me to do. 33, bro. Moving to playing fullback.
That's crazy.
Fullback / tight end / running back. You know? So I don't want to hear shit about that, man. That's my dude.
Demon Tom Salam says Taysom missed a gold jacket by about 35 to 60 years. He absolutely did.
For real.
I think Michael said Clint flew to Utah to talk to Taysom while our front office was Skyping. I don't think they didn't even Skype them. Probably Zooming head coach and candidates. Like, it's different, man. It's just different to show a level of first, let me reach out to you. Let me touch base with you and kind of give you that reassurance of how, like, I know you're on the team. I know you're a good football player. Let me see what I can do with that. And then to go and watch his film and then follow that up in like a phone call and said, bro, like we can do something to the point that he flew out to meet with him. This is no different than when you're working at a company, bro. Like, anyone who works at a job just wants to feel appreciated.
Yes.
Period. No one wants to go to work. No one wants to go to work where it just feels like, you know, like work, right? And we have a team. That mentality and the culture so much was when you were going to work, one, you were having fun. Two, you knew your boss who may have been an asshole, but he was going to hold you accountable. And three, you were winning. So like, that is like all the positives. Right. And then right. It was a drastic change for two seasons. And this is why this is such a pivotal year for DA, but I kind of said in the Discord, man, the irony of like DA like getting a good OC, but like that OC like maybe like being too good that he like takes his job would be like hilarious, man. Like
Because here's the thing, like, let's say the offense is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Let's just say it's awesome. Let's say the passing game's good.
You
Derek Carr,
couldn't
I'm not
come
saying
in and
Derek.
make Derek Carr look decent to good, bro. You
That's what I'm
gotta get
saying.
got.
Like, not even saying like crazy, like, oh, get MVP votes. I'm just saying solid 28 touchdowns, yards, not a lot of interceptions, efficient. And then the run game is like a top 10 run game. Alvin Kamara making a comeback. Kendre Miller
Kendre
is
Miller
like,
looking good.
getting love and all that. Kubiak gone, bro. Like, somebody's going to hire him. We see how this go. Every offensive coordinator that shows just a smidget of creativity and efficiency and effectiveness, and coming from that scheme that you went with Kyle Shanahan and all that, you're going to be a head coach, bro. So it will be so fascinating if he does cook.
They
Like,
the
man.
front office would have a decision on their hands.
Bruh, like a decision, bro.
Like
A
legitimately.
decision, bro.
Because like
Like,
you
he's
said to
in your
your point,
building.
he's in your building. And you know that you either maybe let him go and he becomes a head coach elsewhere, and you just hope that you are able to get maybe, and we're all saying this like Clint Kubiak is gonna be a great OC, but let's
Yeah,
assume.
this is all hypothetical.
This all conjecture, right? You know that he may leave and like you may have to find another OC and stick with DA, or do you just let DA go and promote Clint? Like, I don't know, man. It's be fascinating. It
And
would be fascinating.
I think it was Eddie that asked that. Like, without somebody being an interim, I can't recall that ever happening. Like, somebody being hired from the staff to be the head coach.
That wasn't an interim.
That
Oh,
wasn't an interim,
that's a good.
So I was like,
Like a good
damn.
hist like NFL history question.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think. I know Mike Martz was the OC for, was it Dan Reeves with the Rams?
Brock said Dennis Allen.
Okay. But I was saying, like, the St. Louis, the greatest show on turf, because it
Mike
was
Martz.
Dan Reeves was the coach, right? At first. I'm talking about that first year when Kurt Warner took over and Mike Martz was the OC. Then Dan Reeves left, and then Mike Martz became the head coach. I think that's the only one where I could think of where it went like that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to Brock's point, like Dennis Allen, that's how he got hired too, though.
Well, yeah.
Like, yeah, right?
But Sean Payton didn't get fired, though. He left. You know what
That's
I'm
true.
saying?
That's true. That's true.
So I never, like, that's the only thing that makes it different.
Right. Interesting to see. We got to hit on the Tano Pascal torn Achilles injury. It's one of those things where, the Tano that we saw the first season with the Saints felt like that player hadn't been here since his first season, but he's been there. He was a good depth piece. He got injured, according to reports, doing like just a like a running workout at the facility, and some conditioning workout, and it just hurts the depth at pass rush and at edge rusher, because I was thinking about this in the Discord, and I tweeted this, or not tweeted, but I put it in our Discord. It's just like, if just again, aside on paper, you look at the talent, and this is assuming that Marshawn Lattimore is not traded, he's not moved. It's a lot of fucking talent on this defense, Ryan. Secondary and linebacker and Breece, who also had injuries that he apparently was fighting through. He got couple of
Yeah.
surgeries after the season ended. Obviously, the glaring hole is at edge rusher. You have a
Yes.
Cam Jordan who's coming back from injury, and he's still not healthy yet, which tells you how serious his injury was. And
Yeah.
then after that, it's like Chase Young, where I know the team is like more optimistic, like maybe like in the public. Team don't know when Chase Young gonna be able to play, bro. They don't know when he gonna play. They don't know when he gonna be healthy.
Course
They
not.
don't know. He's a complete
Of course not.
unknown.
It's a
Neck
neck.
surgery. Neck surgery. I mean, I just remember when like the reports came out and people were like, well, it's just a, like, no, you dummy.
No.
It's neck surgery. So you have Cam coming off injury. Chase Young coming off injury. Tano is going for the season. You are really down to Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey and our dude, fan of the podcast, Grant Cosell, was like, Grant Cosell, like, he's like always nice. Like, he don't like to like bat mouth players, but even Grant Cosell was like, can the nigga play? Can he play? Can he play? Can he get some snaps as a second rounder, bro?
Like, damn. And then, look, I saw a blurb. I don't remember if it was Underhill or John, but Foskey showed some little flashes today. Whatever that means, it's padless play. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least we hear his name, Adam. God damn, bro. What you,
I know, bro.
He
like,
exists. I didn't know he exists. I
forget he only be on the team so many times, Ryan. Like,
something, man. You know.
Dante like, said it means nothing. Dante can't stand Foskey, bro. It's one of my funniest tropes, bro.
You can't stand it, bro. Look,
bro. I'm out here sweating like a slave, Ryan.
What's going on?
Get the fuck, Negro. It's like warm, bro. I don't know.
You're glistening, man. What the fuck? We just talked about preseason don't matter. I would be watching Foskey. Like, I want to see.
Like a hawk.
Like, I remember preseason last year, and I was like, ew. Like, yuck. This dude.
It was bad, Ryan.
It was bad. So I was like, ugh. He wasn't doing nothing. I remember they left him out there for like the whole third, fourth quarter.
Third and fourth quarter, bro.
Doing nothing, bro. So, I'm very interested to see how he does in the preseason. Just show me something, bro. Like, show me something, man. Like, he ain't got to be a sack. Just pressure somebody. Get a little pressure in there.
Oh, man. I forgot what game it was. Maybe it was a Giants game where, like, we thought he, like, caused, like, a fumble on the live stream. I don't remember what game it was. But I think it was the Giants game. We was hype as hell, bro. That's the thing with us. Like, we, as much as we might clown Colts, yeah. Thank you, Wayne. As much as we may clown on players or whatever, man, at the end of the day, man, we want to see them succeed and thrive. Like, there is nothing... Like, I still remember being at that Raiders, our first meetup game, and seeing Peyton Turner have his, like, career game with us, like, watching it in person. And I was just... I was just happy, bro. Like, I was just, like, amused and just happy at the same time. And this injury opens and paves the way. Can we see something from Peyton Turner? Can we see something from Isaiah Foskey? Like, bring something to the pass rush, because the defense desperately, desperately needs on it. Someone in our Discord, I forgot who it was, my fault, suggested that the Saints maybe should, like, sign Emmanuel Ogba. Would love it. Would absolutely love it. As an option.
Absolutely. That'd be like, do it. Do it now. June 1st, I think they're going to have some moves shake. Come June 1st, you know, with the whole compensatory pick formula and all that stuff. So I think you'll start seeing some moves shake. I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. I didn't even know you were still out there.
Yeah, he is. I feel like we should mention, like, it sounds like Derek Carr, you know, according to the reports today that were open to media, had a good practice.
Derek Carr season right here, boy.
There's no pressure.
No pressure. This is time of the year, man. Shit.
I will say something that stood out to me reading John Hendricks' report. It's just kind of him just mentioning that today, like, he noticed that the offense really went after Pete Warner in coverage. And
yeah.
It's on my radar, bro. I don't know when we're going to start seeing that Willie Gay DeMario, but it's just something I'm just being mindful of. I'm just being mindful of it.
It's going to be interesting, man.
Yeah.
And I really do think they want to use Willie Gay, not as a pass rusher, but as like a pressure player. So it's going to be interesting how they just work all that out with, you know, Pete Werner, coverage, DeMario, who's also a pressure player. It's a lot to work with, but man, the defense got talent, bro. Like, it got talent, man. Like, how talented? Like, I don't think they, with this schedule, I don't think statistically they'd be like a top 8 defense or nothing like that, but I think they should be like a top 12 unit, you know, just overall scoring, you know, points allowed, yards, you know, good versus the pass, the run game, the run defense, still a huge question for me. Cause I couldn't even really make sense of it last year. Like, I couldn't pinpoint, oh, here's the problem. You know, yeah, was it defensive tackle? Was it linebacker? Was it, you know, poor perimeter blocking on the edge? I don't know. I don't know what the issue was. Scheme? I don't know. But something was wrong because obviously it just wasn't good.
And all the games that they lost, even the games we were at, right? I was at the Rams game. We were at the Texans game. Even the Bears game early on. Like, it was just very obvious. It was just like the run defense was no longer a strength. And I really think that's why, even though he didn't meet their metrics, they saw the type of player that Christian Boyd was, reported that he had some nice plays and practice that would have been tackle for losses. I'm just like, he's just a player to me that just like, I just really think he's going to be a contributor early on, like in his rookie season.
I do too. It just makes too much sense.
Dante said top 12 defense and a top 10 offense should get you in the playoffs, but this schedule, though.
Exactly. It's the schedule and it's the head coaching. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, the end of game management, the final 2 minutes, you know, end of the half. Under DA, his defenses have been much better in the second half than the first half. Yep. Figure that shit out. Like, yeah, that's great when you make adjustments in the second half, but can we get some of them adjustments in the first half? Like, how many games we watch where the offense, opposing offense, just march down the field and it's like, oh, Lord, here we go. And then come second half, they clamp it up. Like, the defense clamp it up. By that time, it's too late.
they still had a chance, but even to, like, DA's credit, right? You know, he and Joe Woods came up with whatever the scheme was that confused CJ Stroud in the second half of that Texas game. Mm-hmm. I know you,
sure
did. But this was the CJ Stroud that was a rookie sensation, was carving up defenses, carved up the Browns defense in the playoffs, all of that. This is the same CJ Stroud, and while he was making plays that first half, the second half, the Texans, I don't know if they even scored, maybe like a field goal, but they did not move the ball consistently against the Saints defense at all the second half. So to your point, this is going back to like the show me, we got to like, I have to see as a fan, that Dennis Allen can stack wins. We talked about this when we went through the schedule and we broke it down, bro. If you want to be successful in the league, you have to stack wins. Period. You can't do this. We win one, lose one, win two, lose three. You are not going to, like, your record is not going to ever be in a position where you're going to be essentially like a winner, even with them in the NFC South, right? Stack wins. And the only way you're going to be able to stack wins is to be able to start fast defensively in the beginning of the games and offensively in the beginning of the games. Period. Yes. Our dude Adam said, has DA ever really consistently used a three defensive line, three linebacker, five DB split before? Sure it would be nice to have a Zach Bond or a Caden Ellis.
We did a lot of three down linemen, but usually it's three down linemen, two linebackers.
Linebackers and six DBs.
Six DBs. So I don't know. You rarely see three linebackers on the field under DA. You know,
I mean, maybe they'll do it. Three linebackers on the field for most NFL teams, unless they're in base. And sometimes even in base, they ain't got three linebackers on the field no more.
Yeah, they got a big safety, you know? So I think you'll see more of that, you know, more three down linemen. It's going to be interesting, bro. Like, especially we face a couple of running quarterbacks this year. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, historically been the poison pill for DA's defense. It's going to be interesting to see Because, I mean, that's what I figured they got Foskey for, is to, like, be somebody that could, you know, track those guys on the edge and stuff, man. It's like, bro, we need you, bro. We need you, brother.
Why don't Foskey do that? Bro, who?
Is Buddy Peyton Turner at OTAs, bro?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this line. I just look. Hold on. Just read this from John before we recorded, right? Our shout out to our dude, John Hendricks. Okay, where is it? Sorry, terrible podcasting. The line was the same as last week. Carl Granderson, Kalen Saunders, Kendall Vickers, and Peyton Turner with Pete Ooh. Warner and DeMario Davis at linebacker. Alante in the slot, and then some nobodies at corner because Adebo and Marshawn were not at OTAs.
And Kool-Aid recovered.
Yeah, recovered was injured. So.
Every time you say something about Foskey, bro, Dante said, Ryan, please, asking Isaiah to Foskey to contain the edge or something. Bro, we got Jalen Hurts week three, bro.
Man, look.
Week three. Got Jalen Hurts. Anything else? Oh, real quick. Those first, like week two, week three. Speaking of stacking wins, man, it's just going to tell us so much about like this team. Not just, you know, in segments, right? Not just offense, not just defense, because it all has to come together where it has to be a win. It has to be a win. And something that's going to be interesting, right? Because Dante just said in the chat, and Parsons week two, you have a new, not new, but kind of new right tackle, a Trevor Penning in a position that he's never played before. Like, you know the game plan for defenses who are going to play the Saints are going to be like, we're going to test the rookie left tackle who's hadn't played left tackle in a while, and he's a rookie, and we're going to test the third-year player who didn't, you know, had some up and downs at left tackle. Now he's at right tackle position. He's never – like, the offensive line is going to get tested and tested quickly. Quickly.
Real for real, man. And look, Penning, he had some little up and down plays today, apparently. So, you know, it's still a work in progress with him, man. We'll see, bro. We'll see with him, man. Like, come on, bro. Big ass, man. Get it together, bro. Damn. Like, we rooting for you. Everybody, like, everybody wants you to, like, succeed, man. They like, damn, come on. Come on, Penning.
Big ass.
I was happy to see that his like aggression and nastiness has kind of made a return, because I felt like that we've talked about it, like that had been coached out of him so much like the last couple of like the last two seasons. So it kind of coming back was good to see.
Another but thing, the kicking competition.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. What's this good dude named Chris Smith?
Yep,
Charles Smith
from Ireland. From
Ireland, man. They say it's looking real, bro. It was 4-for-4 today, from 44 yards.
Do we not? Does there no competition for Lou Hetley? Like none?
Yeah. They got a guy.
Oh, that's right. They did get a guy. I completely spaced on that.
They got a guy. But, I mean, I don't know.
Something that caught my eye reading John's report is that Hulker seems to consistently be with the first team offense.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
For a UDFA to be consistently with the first team offense during OTAs, I'm not saying whatever. I'm just saying, to me, just as a person who knows football, that is extremely, extremely telling.
Yeah, man, and I haven't heard much about him yet, like as far as like plays he's making and stuff. So, you know, that's just something interesting to track. You know, Juwan Johnson, where he's at, Keep hearing about the other kid. I forget his name. Is it Michael Jacobson?
Yeah.
I think his name. Mm-hmm. He was on a practice squad with us last year. Apparently, he looks good. He's making some plays. I mean, you got Taysom Hill, who's kind of like, you know, splitting time at that role. They need all of it, bro, because that tight end room is not good on paper. You know, it can be good, but on paper, it's like one of the weaker position groups on the team. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting. Another thing, I just looking at some of the videos, I'm like, man, Kendrick Miller, he just looks explosive, man. He looks just smooth. You know, I saw him catching passes downfield, out the backfield, and stuff like that. Like, give me more of that. And, you know, I guess that's kind of a positive.
Thought you were about to start bringing out some Britney Spears. Sorry, I thought y'all looked excited.
And kind of a positive, I guess, with AK not being there is, you know,
right,
those guys could get a lot of work done. And I'm not worried about AK. He's going to be back minicamp doing his thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this year has all the makings of, like, the AK. And this might, you know, who knows, man? This might be AK's last year with the team. We don't know. Could but be. This year potentially have all the makings of, like, an AK revenge tour. Like, him finally being in the offense, staying healthy, an offense that knows how to utilize his skill set, creative, better offensive line play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It would just be, just for the sake of just our live streams during game day, just when AK make plays, bro, it just feels different. Man. It feels different.
This man not even on people top 10 running back list, bro. Like, it's falling that far for him. To the point, like, Greg Rosenthal, he get clowned for having AK on his top 10 running back list or whatever. Like,
Greg knows ball. Like,
I'm like, Greg, you know ball, Greg. That's
no
why.
Ball, bro.
But, I mean, but I'm sure for AK, it's like, you know, I mean, that's just where he's at, you know what I'm saying? He averaged, what, less than 4 yards a carry last year, you know what I'm saying? Like, to no fault of him, but I'm just saying, you know, that's just the reality of his production.
It's funny because his career, like, just in terms of just the way it's gone, you know, I would say when he was – in the same, when he was younger, he was a better player than Christian McCaffrey was.
It wasn't even like a major debate.
No, right?
Like, then, early, like, it wasn't even like a major debate, man.
It wasn't. And then C-Mac got injured. He got hurt. And then kind of what we've seen with AK these last two seasons, the same talk was happening with Christian McCaffrey, right? He was injured all the time. He was on the Panthers. He was, you know, he was blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, lo and behold, he gets traded to one of the best offensive minds in football in San Francisco.
And now he's looking like the best running back in the league.
Crazy how that happens, Ryan. It's crazy. Isn't that crazy? How that happens. I'm just saying, like, I'm not comparing Clint Kubiak to Kyle Shanahan. I'm not doing that. But just having a competent, and I don't even want to go hard at Pete Carmichael, bro. I don't even want to. Pete told you what it was, bro.
Pete told you what it was, bro. Pete, like, was just being Pete.
That's like if someone, we're moving ourselves out of these situations. If someone tells another person, you know what, this is just friends with benefits. Do not look anymore. We are not a relationship. And then you, as like the Saints, you're just like, well, we can't have more, but we want more. Right. No, we talked about this. Pete didn't even want the job, bro. Pete didn't want to be there.
Didn't want it, man. So I don't want it.
You think Pete was going to fly to Utah, bro?
Hell no. He's like, man, I'm going to text you, bro. He's like, man,
I might send a voice, an audio message if you're lucky, bro. But like, that's about as far as that.
I mean,
goes.
Pete was the type that, you know, he let players have the input, which I guess is, you know, which is a good thing to a certain extent, but, you know, it just caused a lot of confusion. Like, because we saw it, like, every week he'll get beat up by the media about, hey, where's Motion? Where's this? Where's, you know, Taysom Hill? Where's AK in the pass game? Then the next Sunday, you'll see Taysom Hill. Then you'll see Devin Kamara. Then the next week, it'll be something different. It was just
he would coach reactively.
Very, very much so. Very much so. And, you know, it wasn't for him, man. It wasn't where he was supposed to be. And he got out of there so quick, bro. He probably flew straight to Denver. Like, please.
MS wide to Denver.
Direct flight. On my way.
I think it also, I mean, another thing that, like, is underreported, too, and we talked about this, and I don't want to belabor the point, but, like, the Saints were just in such a scene around the league in a position that, like, no one wanted the job.
Yeah.
Pete, like, before Pete got it to second year, that he was like, this man was, I could say this out loud now, this man was begged to come back, Ryan. Begged. Don't leave. Pete, if you leave, we might not be able to actually have an OC. Do you know how embarrassing that would have been, bro?
Poor Ryan Curry. Hey.
He's in Buffalo now, right? Am I tripping?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, he with Joe Brady.
Pete was getting up there saying it's on me week after week, just so begging me to be fired.
So me. Please.
Please fire me. Please let me go.
It just won't fire me.
I feel we didn't talk about this, the politics of New Orleans. I have never seen a team respond so quickly to being told that they're broke. Brother.
It's Louisiana, bro. I don't know what to make of that stuff. That shit's crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's embarrassing. That was embarrassing, bro. Like, New Orleans is a small city, bro. So news reports like that, you know, we New Orleans people, we gonna get them jokes off. Boy, Saints, bro. And I saw it all on Facebook. Well, Saints ain't paying their bills, boy. Saints ain't paying their child support. So, you know, like, that's embarrassing. So, you know, and the politics in Louisiana, they knew that would be embarrassing. That's why they put the story out through the media. So it's a game going on. A lot of games going on right now with the lease, you know, how long the Saints going to be in the dome, all that stuff. A lot of stuff going on. You got a new governor, terrible, terrible governor in Louisiana.
Awful.
Just, but anyway, I didn't know what to make of that story, though.
I just couldn't get past the juxtaposition of Mickey Loomis's WWE oppressor after the Lions game. Man had the nerve to talk about some economics of the situation while Saints fans wasn't in the goddamn Superdome. And then you get a story come out to say, y'all broke asses ain't paying bills. Like, y'all... The audacity of this motherfucker right here, Ryan. Shout out to Ghostface Griller. Love the show. Jamming with you guys at work. Much love.
Love it.
Jashawn Smith said, man, seeing someone else wearing number 13 in them OTA's videos got me sick. Sick and not still no thanks. No, thank you, MT Post, bro. Like,
ain't gonna happen, man.
It ain't gonna happen, bro. Just not. It's just, that bewilders me. It bewilders me. The Drew Brees came out. Was it official or was it from Reddit? Reddit hates us, but potentially Drew Brees is going into the Saints, like Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor this season. Would be amazing if that happened during the meetup game. Would be amazing if it was that.
Man. That'd be chef kiss right there, boy. Right. That'd be awesome.
Just emotions, Ryan. Wouldn't be able to contain myself, bro. Wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh, hell no.
What else? I think you said in our Discord, the Saints Block Party podcast at Canton. Gonna be something special.
Let's also, make it happy, bro.
I did not realize how expensive it is to go to like the Hall of Fame things. Like, it is not cheap.
Really?
Yes.
Damn.
It is, because we had talked, I think like we talked about this like last year, because obviously Drew Brees is gonna go in first ballot. And so I don't know if I looked it up or Jay looked it up, bro, but I was like, to go to a Hall of Fame speech? Niggas, I'll be what?
Watch that in the ball.
be like outside of it with the megaphone. ain't got them prices though. Feel like so you know, to be expected. I think you made a good point of this. Just, you know, Spencer Rattler's having his struggles, man. He's a rookie. He's playing in the NFL, and you learn very, very quickly that the NFL, no matter how good you were in college, it's different, man. It's a different beast. The only hope I have from him from OTAs till training camp is him not making the same mistakes that he's making now in OTAs.
Exactly.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah. I just want to see the story unfold, man. People overreact too much, either the positive and negative. People overreact too much. I just want to see his story unfold as he learns, as he grows within the system, gets a couple preseason games under him and stuff like that. It's going to be interesting. Him and Jake Haener, bro, because Jake Haener ain't trying to fold either. You know what I'm saying? Jake Haener said he want to be a starter. You know what I'm saying? So I love it, man. Like, the more competition there, the more dudes that's driven to want to be great, that's just better for the Saints, honestly. You know, whenever we get Derek Carr out of here. So
not soon enough.
Derek Carr might really be fine this year, bro. Like, if Clint Kubiak could just simplify the game enough for him to where he doesn't have to control the whole, he doesn't have to orchestrate the whole thing, and just make your reads, put the ball where it need to be, execute the offense. That's it. I don't need all the extra activities and, you know, screaming at players. And you could tell he's trying his best this year to be like on the good side of everybody. I mean, he got the big praise the Lord fest with DeMario and all that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. He trying though. So like, okay, bro. We gonna see.
Deshaun made a good point. Clint definitely going to hold Carr accountable, unlike Pete and DA.
Yeah.
Sounds like
it. Yeah, I don't think so. It sounds like it, from what I'm hearing.
Just even, it's funny, the thing that was reported, like, that Clint, if the huddle isn't broken correctly, having to go back
to my heart right there.
Like that, like that's a Sean Payton, thing, bro.
Absolutely. That's the details, baby. And it's been on my radar, bro. Because I've been watching that huddle the last 2 years. I'm like, man, it's a sloppy huddle.
Sean Payton, lackadaisical.
Like they used to have, like, you used to watch with Drew. It's quick. He's always like at a certain spot on his knee.
Yep.
Everybody standing around at a certain spot. And then there's a synchronous clap at the end. Everybody clap.
Yep.
And then they just, like, it's beautiful to watch because they spread out into the formation like it just, like, they go from a huddle and just spread out, and it's boom, just perfect.
Like, you synchronized can tell
just practice. It's all synchronized, man. And it's one of them things I just used to watch and just love because, you know, especially when the offense was cooking and they marched down the field, that's when it was rolling. It's like, I used to love that shit. So, yeah, but the last couple of years, it just ain't been like that, bro. It's just been all over the place. One player hanging out, one player got his hands on his hip looking over there. So I love that I love to hear that. I love that he's being maniacal like that, because that's like the details, man. It might seem small, but that's the detail. Like B. John pointed out, that's the difference between, you know, 18 seconds on the play clock and 14 seconds on the play clock.
Huge.
That's all those little things that add up to winning games, you know?
Winning games, and it's so, the huddle thing is so interesting to me, because I remember like learning to play football. I had never played it before, but how much time was spent in junior high of getting the huddle right, getting the clap right, breaking it. And it was such a thing when I played from what, seventh through like what, ninth grade or early 10th grade. If the huddle wasn't broken right in practice, bruh, redoing it.
Do it again.
Do it again. Right. Till it becomes routine, right? That you are so in line with it that you ain't going to F it up, that you want to do it again. Cause then you're taking time away from off the play clock or whatever. And so just like the little things add up and the little things matter. And it's just good to kind of, the attention is back on the little things. I'm also glad that Nick Saliverde, AKA Salsa Verde, sounds like he might be like the left guard, bro. He sounds like he just might be the left guard, which is good. Like he was drafted what, in the fourth round? Like you would hope a fourth round draft pick that you draft as like offensive lineman that you maybe get like a decent starter. Also, just real quick, can we talk about how Andres Pete like was so done with the Saints, bro? Done, bro.
450,000 guaranteed, bro.
He said, get me out of here.
You know the Saints offered him way more than that. And he was like, I'm not even answering the phone, bro. I'm done with y'all. Got to get Pete on the podcast, bro.
Wouldn't that be a full circle moment, bro? And the name of the episode would be Pete Gone Pete, bro.
He got his tweets protected, man. So he, poor guy, he caught hell from everybody. He caught hell from the fans. Everybody, he caught hell from his own team. So I get it, man. He's just like, man, let me go to the greener pastures, go over to the Raiders.
Oh, Pete's tweets been protected for like a long time, bro. Like a long time. Yeah.
I get it, man. I get it.
It'd be so cool to a degree, just to see Pete kind of have like a little second career arc, bro, where like he's not like the joke anymore. Like I just love that for him, you know?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Anything else from OTAs before we wrap up? We've got a couple of minutes left. Anything, any questions from the chat? We have 28 concurrent viewers going right now. So 28 people. Dante said boy signed in Las Vegas for a casino buffet cart.
Hey, bro. Buffets be hitting now, boy.
I can't stand buffets, bro.
I know some people like, ew, buffets.
So it's not even that. I'm not like grossed out from a buffet. Like,
I mean, there's a lot of people, bro.
That's bougie people is what I would take that from. But, my thing is, typically the price that you would pay to go for a buffet is never worth it for me, because I will go to a buffet, I will eat one plate of food, and then I'm full. So like want like a second or third plate. So like price wise, it just doesn't make sense.
With the fat light, boy, we coming out that thing full.
Oh, I'm leaving with something.
Feeling sick, bro. God damn.
I'm leaving with something. Diabetes, high blood pressure. Yeah.
All of it. I'm getting it. Got breakfast over there. I'm eating that. Eating hard ass steaks.
Here's the thing. It's not even that I don't even want to eat that much. It's just that my body's just like, I don't know. I can't do it. Dante said, do y'all think getting out of the huddle sooner might slow the game down for Carr and allow him to make faster decisions? Here's the thing that I go to Ryan was saying about Carr, right? About Clint Kubiak giving him like the answers, much like Kyle Shanahan provides Brock Purdy the answers, or you know, all good offensive coordinators do, right? The thing that I still have the question about is when there is someone open, and as much as we can clown on Pete for the last two seasons or whatever, there were plays that were numerous plays, especially early in the season for like at least like the first 8 weeks, that whatever it was, there was an open receiver, right receiver, tight end, someone, and Derek Carr either did not see the player or refused to throw the ball to the player. That's the thing I kind of go back to, is that Clint Kubiak could paint the perfect picture for Derek Carr. Like, absolutely pristine, in the Louvre picture. But if he's still not pulling the trigger with open players, then it becomes a problem. So I think what we saw the last couple of weeks of the season, you run the ball, be somewhat effective, and let Derek Carr make decisions at the play action. That is the best version of Derek Carr that there is at this point in his career. And I think with Clint Kubiak, what he's going to want to do is he's going to want to run the ball with AK. He's going to run the ball with Kendre. And then when the opportunities present itself and whatever, then Derek Carr will throw the ball. That's the thing that I hope they make, like, synergy. Like, that synergy needs to be there.
100%. 100% agree.
Jay Sean Smith said, I came into the stream late. Did y'all talk about the whole OTA participation drama? So I'll comment on that, because I actually asked about that earlier today. I was pretty much told that the players that are not at OTAs are either one, injured, or players who typically historically have never attended OTAs to begin with. So I don't think it's something drastically to be. It was on my radar a little bit, honestly.
Yeah. But it was a long list.
It was, but it's either players who are injured or players who typically had not been at OTAs. Yeah,
and low key, they got a lot of injured players, man. When I was looking, I was like, damn, they got a lot.
They do,
like,
bro.
Like, Reece, I didn't even know about him. Like,
no one did.
Literally just found that out today. He has shoulder surgery, and he had to remove a cyst out of his knee from when he had the ACL surgery. Reece. So I was like, oh, it's interesting. He played through that shit.
Always why you say, like, people talk about minor surgery, like, you never know what happens after a surgery. It's the human body. Oh, I think, what does Sony say? Need a Colin Sanders TD this year, too. Would love that. Little Colin Sanders TD. Anything else?
I think that's it. One thing you brought up earlier, Nico Collins got broke off. 20 plus million.
Funny you brought that up, because I literally, while we were recording, because I wanted to bring it up before I forgot, I pulled up Nico Collins' stats as like a player in the NFL since he got drafted.
What he did last year? What, about 1400?
Last year when he broke out, yeah, he got, so he had 1300 yards, 8 touchdowns. The year before, he had 481 yards, 2 touchdowns. In his rookie season, he had 446 yards, 1 touchdown.
Oh. Got broke off like that?
Because where he was drafted, this is him going into his final year of his
team. Right.
So, listen, you're a team like the Texans, where you have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Have you. No, it makes 100% sense for them.
Here's a conversation, and I don't know if we want to have it on this podcast episode. We could have it on a different podcast episode. Is that the wide receiver market? Nico Collins getting like about $24 million a year. $24 million a year. He was a dog last season. Had a great season. But before last season, he was just kind of like, and again, like, the Texans had quarterback problems, blah, blah, but right? Let's think about the next receivers that are about to get paid. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, woo, T. Higgins. They break in, CeeDee Lamb. Forgot CeeDee Lamb. They break in 30 mil. Like, easy. They are going to break $30 million per year. Okay. A discussion that we will have on this podcast at some point is when it's time for that next wave, the Chris Olaves, the Garrett Wilsons, like that kind of next wave. It's going to be tricky, because they are going to look and say, Well, shit. Justin Jefferson got whatever. Where my 33 mil? Where my 34 mil? A year for a wide receiver, right? That's where it's going. And to Chris Olave's point, like, if that's what he's going to want, all you would look and say, well, shit, Nico Collins' first two seasons didn't even have 500 yards as a wide receiver. I done had 1,000 plus
with bad quarterbacks. Bad quarterback play.
It's going to be fascinating. Yeah.
Fascinating. Luckily, we don't have to worry about that right now. He's going into his third year. After this year, they could probably start talking. If they want, my guess is the Saints won't, and they'll probably try to ride it out. But
I mean, the smart thing to do would, after like after the season ends, going into the offseason for next season, they should start trying to talk to Chris Olave then. That's not how Mickey Loomis operates. Like, it's just isn't. He's done it with like Carl. He did it with Big Creek, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Other than I can't even think Caesar, right? But like, those were kind of easier contracts. Like this one, that Olave contract ain't gonna be easy. Deshaun said a wide receiver two getting that much is crazy. But here's the thing, like, it depends on what you see, what the definition is. Because if you're just basing it off numbers, or are you basing it off like his, like, what you see him play? Because his Chris Olave's numbers show that he's a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I get that not maybe everyone or people have that opinion of him, but his numbers show that he's a wide receiver one. And I just go back to the Nico Collins factor. Before CJ Stroud, Nico Collins looked like a okay, decent NFL wide receiver. CJ Stroud gets drafted. Nico Collins looks like a pure wide receiver one and just like a dog, right?
Yeah.
I get it
from the touching standpoint. Like, they don't have to pay CJ Stroud for another couple of years.
Yep.
They're doing what they should do. Flood, you know, cover your young quarterback with weapons and go get it. Go compete. Go compete for a championship. You know what I'm saying? While you got a, you know, young, you know, gifted kid on a rookie deal, you know, so it makes sense for them. It's just, you know, stick a pin in this conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of the things like, oh, this is going to be interesting down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Super interesting. Because it's not, and here's the thing, it's not just for like the Saints, right? It's for any team that has a wide receiver on their team that is the next in line that's wanting to get paid.
Yeah, what makes it real interesting is like, the draft is putting out tons of wide receivers every year. So it's kind of surprising that the price tag is going up so much. You know what I'm saying? It's just interesting. It's the whole dynamic of it.
It is. It's a fascinating thing. But we will dive into that, Nate, when necessary as that approaches. But it's just something to stick a pin in. But thank y'all for joining us tonight. Just jumping on, you know, just keeping us company as we talk Saints, OTAs. We really appreciate it. Hopefully before training camp happens, we'll get some type of clarification if training camp is going to be open, like at least a couple of days. Anyway, you know, I was going to say something. You know, we had a pretty positive pot. I'm going to just keep positive, bro. I'm just going to end it right here. Maybe I'll bring it up next time we record. But anyway, thank y'all so much. We'll be back maybe next week. No, we'll for sure be back next week. We were trying to do a live show every weekend. And then life happened for both of us. So we'll for sure be back next week talking. Maybe I'll shout out to our dude, Greg Rosenthal, see if we can get Greg on here. He just did his fantastic Projected Starter series, which is stellar each and every year that he does it. But thank y'all for the love. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We'll be back next week. With that, we're out.
Peace.